Well, we look at today's gospel in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, evening TV in recent days has been dominated by the Winter Olympics. As always, it's interesting to see how the athletes perform. Some are winning gold in their teens. Some are trying, like, one more time in their 30s to say, well, I want to do as well as I can. Some do very well. Some are very disappointed. All have been training for years for this event, and their lives pretty much are lived around training and other contests, all building up towards the Olympics. Many have had injuries and had to endure much training to get back to their ability. It's a time of testing for these athletes. All their work, all their training is put on the line. How will their bodies and minds work together to do the best they can do in a time of contest? It is really a test. It's a test to see how well they will do against others and how well they do themselves in this moment of the contest after all their hard practice. How well they do when all that comes together in that one moment where they're on the run or in the race. Well, our gospel reading today is brief, but is filled with lots of very significant actions happening. Jesus is baptized, and he goes to Galilee to begin his ministry, but between this, Jesus is sent to a test. Right after he's baptized, he's sent into the wilderness. He's, in fact, a more literal translation is that he's thrown into the wilderness. Just as Adam and Eve were thrown into the Garden of Eden, the same word was used there when they failed their first test with God and were thrown out of the garden, Jesus is thrown into the wilderness for 40 days to live with the wild beasts and with Satan. Just as Noah had endured the great flood for 40 days as he was tested, and the children of Israel were tested 40 years in the wilderness, only to cross into the Holy Land at the same place where Jesus was baptized, now Jesus is tested. He's been baptized by John, he's both received the blessing, and now he's entered into our human plight. Well, how will he take on the assignment? We don't hear much about the beasts here, but we know that as his ministry goes further, the beasts come up in different kinds of ways as they appear before him as evil spirits and as in the voices of speakers like the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the Roman authorities, even as family members of his and disciples around him will try to tempt him from the route he needed to go. They will all be part of a way to test Jesus. Last week, we heard of Jesus at the top of a mountain, the top of Mount Transfiguration. There he met with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah showed up too. After their meeting and their declarations, Jesus descended the mountain with the disciples to begin the journey to Jerusalem. As kind of it is for the Olympics, getting up the mountain is no problem for the skiers and the snowboarders. With Jesus, getting up the mountain was no problem. But it's the test is always coming down the mountain. Skiers and snowboarders want to go as fast as they can without falling or without having a bad style. Jesus descended the mountain so that he might aim his sights on another mountain that he would need to go up to, Mount Calvary. That would be the greatest test of all. So his coming down the Mount of Transfiguration began the route to Calvary. I see today's lesson and really Maundy Thursday's lesson as much the same in terms of both as times of testing for Jesus as he had very difficult things ahead of him. Both are times of intense struggle for him. Here in the wilderness now for 40 days, Jesus is tempting him from going through to the ministry that he's called to do. Mark doesn't have much detail about it, just saying that he was out there with the beasts and with Satan. They were out there to frighten him and to lead him into temptation. Other gospels tell us about the temptations that Satan put before him to go to the temple and to jump from a certain place and to bow down to the devil and so forth. But Mark doesn't get into that. But in any case, they are all temptations at this time of testing to give up on the hard journey of going to Mount Calvary. Jesus is given these 40 days to mentally and spiritually prepare himself for a tough journey ahead. Well, then in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the last days of his ministry, after that evening after the Last Supper, a Monday, Thursday, he goes to the garden with the disciples. He knows already Judas has left the group to betray him. He takes the disciples with him to pray with such earnestness. He prays with such earnestness that he sweats blood. The disciples fall asleep. They can't pray with him. He asks them to stay awake with him, but they can't. So he knows he must do it himself, and he does. He takes his time in the garden to prepare himself for this giant test ahead of him. Will he be able to go through with what he needs to do, knowing it will all be so difficult? Jesus has these times in the garden and in the wilderness to get himself prepared for major life tests. He has these times to prepare himself for what he knows will be very difficult times. It reminds me of something I was reading about Martin Luther King Jr. Last month. He talks about a time of testing for himself. He described it this way. I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion I was in, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. At that moment, he says, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go, my uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything. King was able to rely on his faith in God at this time of testing and remembered that every genuine expression of love grows out of a consistent and total surrender to God. Our times of testing may not be as dramatic as it was for Jesus or for Martin Luther King Jr., but each one of us are tested in our lives with and before God. Sometimes we've come through a time of testing early on in life, made a decision, and moved forward living in light of that decision. Often new trials and opportunities come before us that test us. How do we best live out our life as a called follower of Jesus? Maybe income is a factor. Maybe service to community is a factor. Maybe love for our family is a factor. All these things are in the balance. Excuse me. How do we make the decision? Are we being tested to make the right decision? We may feel like we're in the wilderness with no guide. We're pressed to trust and believe that God is there with us at our side forever, as King said, as we decide the best we can about what we need to do. We know that undoubtedly the most severe test for Jesus was when he came down from the garden and was arrested that night, taken before the priests and the governor, and sentenced to death. He was taken up on the mountain of Calvary and crucified. And there he continued as he hung there to be tested, as the crowds, the soldiers, and the ones next to him on the cross tempted him and talked to him. They kept saying, you can come down, you don't need to do that. Yet in his testing, he had compassion and forgiveness for those around him and committed himself to God his Father. He ended up dying, but this meant that he passed the test. He did in faith what he needed to do. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he showed himself to the disciples and to many others. They were able to see that going through the test in faith brings a result that seems impossible, but new life will and can be given by God. And so we begin to realize it's not about so much about whether we pass life's tests or not, but it matters that we are with Jesus, who has passed the test. While we indeed come to those moments when we are tested to make decisions and about try to decide what the best thing is, we are promised the grace of the one who takes on our trespasses, who takes on our wrong decisions, who has suffered God's wrath and raised Jesus from the dead. His resurrection is the promise of forgiveness and resurrection for all us sinners. As we begin this Lenten season, we see it as a kind of time to step back a little, to contemplate our mortality and to refrain from indulgence. But it's also a time to behold the coming of God's rule and to make room for that and to see God's activity in through the ministry and the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. In Lent, we try to make time to refocus and reorganize God at work in our life. This passage for today is very realistic. It shows us that life is filled with challenges, testing, and moments of feeling overwhelmed from sobering news and loss. But it's also a hopeful passage because the Spirit is present with Jesus at his baptism. It's also present with him in the wilderness through the angels. He is not left alone. And even after a time in the wilderness when John was arrested and Jesus went away to Galilee, likely for safety, he was able to proclaim at the end of our reading today, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." We see that the road to death always has with it the way of resurrection. Jesus was given over to death. We too are dying, and Lent reminds us of that in order that we might be reminded that God always draws life from death. In our times of testing, we're invited to Lenten courage that doesn't deny our losses or our deaths or the wild beasts that are all around us tempting us, but comforts us with the promise that God is with us in our testing, calls us to embrace the opportunity to continue the work of God's reign, to share the hope that we have been given. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.